Good morning. Good morning. Thank you, Mark. You're doing a good job up there, buddy. It's good to see you here. Really is. We have the pleasure of having Ray and Rachel Keene here this morning. He is Mr. Canby Center right now, but he's done other things too. It's probably not fair because we don't usually take time to introduce our guests, but I do have my sister, Linda, and my brother-in-law, Dale, here. And they are very special people. On the way into church, we passed a cornfield, and the tops had been chopped off of them, you know, so the energy goes into the ears, and they were commenting about how short it is. And so we got talking about corn, and then that moved on to corn mazes. And my sister said, you know, there are lots of corn mazes in Iowa, and there's a special one for older people. It has three stalks on it. I'm just telling you what she told me. I don't know. Just take some time to greet people. And if you have announcements, please come forward and be prepared to give them, okay? Make room in your benches, folks. There's people still coming in. So we're going to be full here by the time the service is over with. We've got some people making announcements. I had the sheet for those who were interested in yoga. There were 18 people that signed up. It looks like, looking at when we can meet, it's going to be a 5:15 class Thursday. I'm still working with the teacher, Tracy, on the date we'll start, but I'll call each one of you and let you know. And just to let the rest of you know, 18's not too many. You're welcome to join us when it starts. Are both of you going to make an announcement? Oh, boy.
I just wanted to say thank you again for your donations for the food pantry this last Sunday. I have not taken them to the house yet, but so that for the next food pantry, they will be on the shelves that we're open. And thank you, Dorothy, thank you for your food that you provided for our dinner. Sorry, I couldn't think of it. Thank you.
It was taco soup, and it was really good. I had it for leftovers at work one time this last week. So yeah, thank you. So my name is Andy Colon. For those of you who don't know me, I am a member of the PCRC, and I'm reminding you that this is the final day to do our major review. To fill out major review for both Jana and Matthew. There is an online form that you can fill out that you should have received through through the office emails out to everyone. If you have not received that or need a new link, you can also email the PCRC, which the email is in your guys' bulletin. There's also a paper copy for those of you who do not have access to the internet or would rather do it via paper, and they're in the back foyer back there. There's also a interest survey for the appreciative inquiry, which will be taking place. The interest has been relatively low. That's why we haven't had the appreciative inquiry yet. Next week, next Sunday, there are 3 slots available. So if you're interested in completing that survey, you can also click on whether or not, or mark whether or not you'd like the pastors there, not there, or be a part of one of the groups that the pastors are there, not there, or you don't care. And for those of you unfamiliar with appreciative inquiry, it's simply a different method of kind of gathering some feedback, and it's been a very positive experience in the past and for other congregations that have used this method for reviews as well. And so coupling it with our paper or digital reviews along with an appreciative inquiry gives us a better view of how we can provide feedback for the pastors. So if you have any questions, I think Kristen and myself are the only PCRC members that are here this morning. So if you have any final questions. Oh, and Dennis in the back. All right. So take it to Dennis. He's back row. Can you stand up? No, just joking. All right, thank you.
Well, I want to thank everyone that took part in selling sausage yesterday. And thank you to Ward for just really pumping you guys up to sign up. I had 2 extra people sign up, so I think next year I'll have him push it too, because he did very good. We're going to have sausage out on the porch. The only thing is that all the fresh sausage was sold. So we do have some that we had cooked that is extra. So that is half price. It's a limited amount, but if you're interested in any pre-cooked sausage, go out there. We also have buns. We've had lots of buns left, so we'll have those for sale out there. Thanks again. It was a good day.
We'll be having second Sundays tonight here from 5 to 6:30. So everybody is welcome to come and share the meal. And then there'll be activities for kids, kindergarten to 5th grade. Please come.
And this is a reminder for high school parents. There will be a parent meeting tonight at 5:30 here at the church. And I'm going to back up MYF to 6:15 at my house, so I have enough time with the parent meeting. So just 6:15 for MYF tonight, 5:30 for parent meeting here. Thank you.
So there's a lot going on. Will you gather with me in prayer, please? Father, it still is such a deep mystery to me that we can speak to the creator of this beautiful earth, the creator of people. And you take each one of us, loving us, caring for us. I thank you for your presence here in this building this morning, in the broader community, in the homes, and in the church throughout the world. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have noticed that Matthew is not with us yet. He is still back in the Midwest. He and Jana and Kara Krupp and Karen Tro attended the Deep Faith Conference in Indiana. So we're hoping to hear some more from them a little bit later on. Just a little snippet that I got from them. It was a really, it was a great conference. So we'll hear from them. I came here this morning to be with you. I don't know all of you real well. Some of you I'm close friends with. But I know you enough to know that you are following the same teacher, the healer, the God that I am. I have to confess to you, sometimes I don't understand the way some of you think. But given that, I know it must be true that you don't understand me either. Yeah. So I want to be here with you, despite that. If we took all our differences and put them on the wall over there, you'd probably have it filled up. If we took our similarity and put it on the wall over there, the similarity is that we want to be disciples of Him. That's the important one over there. Despite this list, we still gather together. We still worship together. And I'm sure that it's like with me as it is with you. As you mix with people in the community, you find believers who may not agree with you on everything, but you have this common core walking with God. When I am with you, either here or working down at 91 School or out on the golf course on Monday, I just have a deep sense of grace that you have given me, just to allowing me to be me. Sometimes I'm sitting in the pew and I look up at the building, and I don't remember what. Is there anybody here that helped build this building? Ah. Bob doesn't want to raise his hand. Well, I know that some of you were around when it was built. And I'm understanding that we are coming on to the 125th anniversary of Zion. 125 years. I wonder what it was like when you built this building to do those top boards up there. Knowing how I don't like heights, I'm glad that I was somewhere else. Given the way life is and the way things happen, I don't know how long we're going to worship here together. Things change. I am mystified that God continues to walk with us. But one thing that I do understand and I deeply believe is that the body of Christ will always be here, and that Christ will always be the head of our body, no matter what form it takes. Some of us are here nearly every Sunday. Some of us are barely here at all. Some of us read our Bible daily. And some of us have a hard time making enough sense out of it to read it at all. It's drudgery. And yet, I get a deep sense that there is this common thread among us, that we want to have meaning in our lives, that we want to spend time with the one who is asking us to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with him. Brother Paul, and not our brother here, but Brother Paul from the New Testament, writes some encouraging words in Ephesians about a really diverse community. And Ray's going to share from that a little bit later on. A diverse community of the Jews and the Gentiles coming together. If they can do it, we can do it. Yeah. Amen. Oh, Lois, are you ready to lead us in some music? I see you still paging through the songbook. Have you got one picked out? Come on up.
Let's stand for page 580. And I've got a bit of a cough today, so I'm glad that you can help me out. If I can't lead as well.
My life moves on in heaven's song. A father's cry that is strong. I catch the sweet no more of you that builds a new creation. The glorious life will fall. Once to that rock I'm clinging. His love.
Oh,
page 405. We'll sing every other verse until verse 5, and then we'll go right in from 5 to 6 without stopping.
We're across the
join me for prayer this morning. Please be aware of your breathing. I think most of us have shallow breathing when we sit in the pew, so I'm going to ask you several times to breathe deeply and then exhale. Breathe deeply and exhale. Holy God, we are awed and humbled by your gracious presence among us. Who are we in the light of your holiness? Who are we in the light of your sovereignty? You who formed us, you who know the numbers of hairs on our heads, you open to us the riches of your kingdom. As we breathe deeply your presence, Lord, settle us into these moments of quiet. When a concern over our well-being enters our mind, we give it to you, God. When a worry comes to you, to us, we let it go. When we think of what the rest of the day holds, we push the thought away, for the rest of the day will come. When we have thoughts of all that is before us in the week ahead, we let go. The jobs will be there when tomorrow comes. We want to be here. We want to be now in this place of prayer. We want to breathe in the calming presence of our God's love, which will sustain us and provide us with all we need in the days ahead. Thank you, God, for your love and mercy, your forgiveness and peace, comfort and protection that are not withheld from us, but are poured out in abundance. We thank you. And we thank you for loving us with an everlasting love. Meet us here today. You know what we need. Renew us and heal us by that love, that we might live as your daughters and sons. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
Would the ushers please come forward and let's take the offering. Let's pray together. Father, lay it on our hearts to give more than the money that we put in the offering, to give our time to those around us that need a listening ear, some help. We thank you for letting us be part of this offering. Bless it as it goes out. Amen. Pat, would you come forward? Children, join her. Join Pat up here for the children's story, please. I'm sure it's going to be a great one.
You might want to see some things too. So I'm glad to see you this morning. Really good. What a good bunch of kids. That's all I can say. My story this morning is an African story. Now usually it's Pastor Matthew who tells us the African stories because he knows them so well. But this is one of them that I think begins to fit what we've been talking about in the last couple weeks. Remember this big word about hospitality? And it's a big idea, and it's not a word that we often sprinkle through the conversations that we have, but it is a wonderful idea, and that's what I wanted to have a bit of a story about this morning. And it's a story about frog and snake. You see the frog and the snake? Now, the story does not have the kind of end that I want it to have. So after we finish the story, I want you to think with me how this story could end much better than it does. Once upon a time, the child of the frog was hopping along the bush when he spied somebody new lying in across the path before him. That someone was long and slender, and his skin seemed to shine with all the colors of the rainbow. "Hello there," called Frog Child. "What are you doing out here in the path?" "Just warming myself in the sun," answered the someone new, twisting and turning and turning and uncoiling himself. "My name is Snake Child. What's yours?" "I'm Frog Child. Would you like to play with me?" So Frog Child and Snake Child played together all morning in the bush. "Watch what I can do," said Frog Child, and he hopped high in the air. "I'll teach you how if you want to," he offered. So he taught Snake Child how to hop, and together they hopped up and on the path through the bush. "Now watch what I can do," said Snake Child, and he crawled on his belly and climbed into the trees. After a while, they both grew hungry and decided to go home for lunch, but they promised to meet each other the next day to play. "Thanks for teaching me how to hop," said Snake Child. "And thanks for teaching me how to crawl up the trees," called Frog Child. Then they each went home. "Look what I can do, Mother," cried Frog Child, crawling on his belly. "Where did you learn to do that?" his mother asked. "Snake Child taught me," he answered. "We played together in the bush this morning. He's my new friend." "Don't you know the snake family is a bad family?" his mother asked. "They have poison in their teeth. Don't ever let me catch you playing with them again. And don't let me see you crawling on your belly either. It isn't proper." Meanwhile, Snake Child had gone home, and he hopped up and down for his mother to see. "Who taught you to do that?" she asked. "Frog Child did. He's my new friend." "What foolishness," said his mother. "Don't you know we've been on bad terms with the frog family for longer than anyone can remember? The next time you play with Frog Child, catch him and eat him up and stop that hopping. It isn't our custom." So the next morning, when Frog Child met Snake Child in the bush, he kept his distance. "I'm afraid I can't go crawling with you today," he called, hopping back a hop or two. Snake Child eyed him quietly, remembering what his mother had told him. "If he gets too close, I'll spring at him and eat him," he thought. But then he remembered how much fun they had together and how nice Frog Child had been to teach him how to hop. So he sighed softly to himself and he slid away into the bush. And from that day on, the Frog Child and the Snake Child never played together again. But they often sat alone in the sun, each thinking about their one day of sun. This is where they've gone home to tell their mothers the new friend they had made and the response from their mothers. Tell me how the story can end differently. How would you make the story end? Yes. Okay, keep remembering how much fun they had.
Wait, that how they end?
That was the end of the story. Just like that. No longer friends, no longer a day of fun together. Because now they are afraid of each other. What do you think? How could the story end different?
That they can tell their mothers what happened.
They could try to tell their mothers how it really was, Yeah. Any more ideas?
Me too.
Yeah?
Okay.
I want you to remember the story of the frog child and the snake child and how they found a good way to play together and teach each other things. And then they heard some things that maybe they should not like each other. It's not right. You're right. I think too, it's not right. So let's pray. And I want you to continue to remember this story. When you find yourself in places where maybe somebody says you shouldn't be friends. Let's pray. Our dear Jesus, you came to be our friend. We know you as our friend. Help us to remember to be friends as you were to the children and to the grown-ups, to even the old people. We want to be friends as you were. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, you may now go back to where you were sitting.
So you'll notice on our order of worship that it now is mission report time. But I just wanted to ask Ray a few questions. I know him a little bit. Doug and I and Ray meet for coffee occasionally. One thing I really appreciate about Ray is if we share something that's personal, Ray is very comfortable in the coffee, wherever we're having coffee, saying, let's just stop and pray about that. Today, he and I were sitting down there together, and he said, how you doing, Ken? I said, I always get nervous before I go up. Me too. Let's pray together. It's just a part of your being. So, Ray, when I was sitting there, I noticed you and Rachel were holding hands. So you must have something special going between the two of you. Tell us about that.
Yes, we do. I'm not sure if this one's on, but
it looks like it is.
Hello, hello. Here we go. Yeah, Rachel and I have been married now for 18 years, and we have the blessing of 3 wonderful kids. 16, 14, and 7 here in Canby Schools. And we've been in town now for about a year and are loving getting to know everybody here.
Yeah. So you've been director at Canby Center for about a year now?
That's right. Yeah. Came at the end of September last year.
Wow. Okay. How many of you have ever been to the Canby Center? Okay. Well, not all of us are from Canby. So what does the Canby Center have to do with us way out here or with within another community?
Yeah, the Canby Center does a variety of things. For people who are in need, they can come to the center to receive clothing or food or other items like that. We help in a variety of ways, whether it's providing a meal 4 days a week during the lunch hour or like our Backpack Buddies program, where last year we distributed over 8,000 food packs into the backpacks of kids, even out here at 91 School, just down the road, where the school district identifies children who are food insecure, and then we partner with the district to be sure that those kids are taking home food on the weekends each Friday. It's a great partnership.
Do you do that in other districts too, or just Canby?
It's primarily in the Canby School District, mm-hmm. although we are reaching farther all the time. I'll be touching on our new mission statement this morning. And one of the decisions that our board made recently was to reach out to what we're calling the Canby community. So the surrounding areas around Canby. So a lot of the region, we have folks who come and receive our help.
Yeah, great. So why don't you go ahead and share with us what you have to share about
this. All right. Thank you, Ken. Well, I do want to share with you for just a moment or two about the Canby Center, and it really is a privilege to be with you and have opportunity to share. There's so much that we are blessed to be able to do in the community, and so I just want to update you on a few things that are happening. Our new mission statement is, in God's love, we renew dignity and inspire learning for youth and families. And each of those pieces is very intentional. It is God's love which motivates our service, which inspires our compassion. It is that love which, from which we can operate and serve and love other people. And so that's the foundation of our work at the Canby Center. And then we really do seek to renew dignity for youth and families. That renewal of dignity is an important piece, because when you're going through a tough time in life, when you feel like you've hit the wall, one of the first things to go is your dignity. That sense of being human, of having value, of having something to give in this life, having things matter. And so as we focus on poverty alleviation, as we focus on helping people by providing relief, we want to be sure that we're doing that in a way that renews dignity. And that next step of inspiring learning is a critical one too, because we can provide relief for someone and yet not really address the long-term challenges with poverty or struggle in life. We address those long-term challenges by education, by providing help, whether that's through learning about how to handle your finances, or maybe learning a new language like English, or maybe picking up some other skill sets like learning how to read for the first time. Each of those pieces is really important. Last year, we served over 3,900 people in the Canby area through providing food and clothing, through housing assistance, through after-school tutoring, through providing medical, dental, and vision assistance for people who are in need. There's just so many ways to be involved with that, too. So if you see something up on the screen there and you wonder about that, well, that's something I have an interest in, or, well, that's something I'd love to learn more about, please find me and ask me about that. I'd love to share with you more. But I really want to focus this morning on a couple things, saying thank you. At the VBS that Zion did over the summer, the kids raised support for backpacks to go out to children in the Canby School District who might not otherwise be able to take home a backpack with new school supplies from the store. So the kids pulled together, and I know some of you were participating in that too, and you raised support to enable us to provide backpacks filled with school supplies for about 275 children in the district. It was really delightful to see the kids come out and the kids here from Zion come out and serve and be able to help fill those packs, and to see folks come through and really be blessed by that. It was truly delightful. So thank you for being a part of that. We're going to be talking about hospitality in our message this morning, and I just have to say, I already see Zion doing so much of this. It is a strength for you, and so I had the privilege of just urging you on in that and encouraging you further. Some new programs for the Canby Center I want to tell you about briefly. This first one is called Reading Mentors, and it's a program that will be a pilot program. We're trying this in some ways for the first time at Knight Elementary School, where we have gathered volunteers from the community to come and read with kids who are emerging readers. For many of these kids, they don't have the kind of home life that you or I might be accustomed to. Maybe mom or dad is working multiple jobs and really doesn't have the energy to be reading at night, or perhaps mom and dad don't know how to read themselves. And so for these kids, they're struggling to learn how to read. And so we're creating this partnership with the Canby School District where volunteers can come in for 1 hour a week and read alongside a child and make a real difference for them. If you'd like to learn more about ways you could be a part of that, I want to encourage you to speak with Rachel, my wife, who is one of our site coordinators at Knight Elementary for this new program. It's a great, great way to be involved. Another thing I want to share with you in terms of new programming at the Canby Center is our job seekers program. You may know of some people who are looking for employment in the area. Every Monday afternoon at 3:30, we have a job seekers group. People who are gathered together to talk about ways to improve their job searches, to improve their resume writing, to network together and find opportunities for work. So we're bringing together mentors in that equation, sometimes employers in that equation, and we're also bringing together those who are seeking. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, just simply let me know. Every 3:30 on Monday,
at the Canby Center. We're meeting. And then lastly, I want to just touch on a new program that I'm pretty excited about. This is really something that's a little more quiet, but I want you to know about it. Because about 3 weeks ago, we gathered together for the first time what we're calling the Canby Ministry Collective. This is senior pastors from across the community who really oftentimes don't have that place to go to where it's a safe environment, where they can really kind of both be prayed for and pray for one another. And so this is an opportunity for senior leaders in our churches to come together and be encouraged in their faith, to pray together, and to be taking steps toward building greater unity in our community. So about 3 weeks ago, we had 12 senior pastors from various churches across the spectrum of Christianity. On one end of the spectrum, I would say, we had Father Arturo from the Catholic Church. On the other end of the spectrum, we had some of the pastors from charismatic churches in town, and everything across the spectrum in between. So would you be praying for us as we gather together? I believe that unity is something that God has in mind for his church, and it's a priority for him. So the world will know we are Christians by our love for one another. That starts with leadership. So thank you for letting me share a little bit about the Canby Center. I want to dive into our message now and talk with you about hospitality. I know this is something that you have been talking about, and it's one of those topics that's kind of interesting in a way. It's not one of those words, as we heard earlier, that's often talked about, but I think it's really, really critical for us because it's at the heart of who God is. And when I began to prepare for this sermon, I realized that God wanted to do something specifically in my own heart. And so, as often is the case, the sermon began for me long before it's reached this morning. Last Sunday, I began to learn from someone named Bennett. Bennett serves as a nurse in the ICU in various hospitals. He's a part of the legacy system. And so he goes wherever is needed in that system. If there's trouble in one hospital or they have a shortfall in a certain area, he can pitch in there and serve as an ICU nurse. Last Sunday, my mom was just getting back from a trip with my dad. They drove about 5,000 miles across the country. On Saturday, they returned home. And my mom was stepping out into the RV on Sunday morning to take care of some things. And she lost her balance and fell backward out of the RV and landed on our concrete driveway, hitting the back of her head, which landed her in the ICU for 3 days, where she was in and out of consciousness, where she struggled with fever, and her blood pressure and blood rate were variable at times. Her beats per minute were dropping down into the 30s. And I watched as Bennett, this ICU nurse, cared for her. And he just had his focus and his attention on her for the entire shift that he was there during the day. And at the end of each day, he would say to us, "You know, I may not be able to be your nurse again tomorrow, but I want to tell you that if I can, I'll be back here." And each morning, somehow, by God's grace, he would show up again that next morning in the ICU, and he would be her nurse again for that day. And I just watched as he cared for her and kept her medication in balance to deal with the pain and with the blood pressure and trying to keep things just where they should be. And what I saw was a picture of hospitality. What I saw was someone who cared for my mom like a family member would, like my own brother would. And it was a beautiful, beautiful picture of hospitality. We get the word hospitality from this root word in Latin, and it touches on that word of hospital. So here I am in the hospital learning about hospitality. We also get these words of host and hospice, hostel. It's the idea of a guest chamber or a guest lodging or an inn. This is a place where people come to rest and recuperate. It's a safe place. And when we show hospitality to others, that's the nature, that's the picture that we should have in mind, that we create safe spaces for other people. So I want to just share with you a little bit about some of these principles regarding hospitality. I think first and foremost, it's important to understand that hospitality is God's idea, and it's an essential part of his character. God has shown us great hospitality, and we are to show hospitality in the same way to others. In Ephesians 2, the Apostle Paul is talking about the union of Jews and Gentiles together, believing Jews, believing Gentiles coming together to form one new group known as the church. And I'm just going to ask Ken if he would come and read for us Ephesians 2. Do you have that, Ken? All right.
I took the time just to read through this several times this week, and it became alive for me, richer. First time through, it was sort of, that's a lot of stuff here. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. The Spirit is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following our desires and our thought. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in heavenly realms with Christ Jesus, in order that the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us through Jesus Christ. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's a gift from God. Not by works, so none of you can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, with God prepared in advance for us. Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth and called the uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcised, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made two groups one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in His flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to Christ through the cross, by which He put to death their hostility. He came and He preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those of you who are near. For through Him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of His household, built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus as the chief cornerstone. In Him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple to the Lord. And in Him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit.
I love this book, Ephesians, because Paul loved the Ephesians. In chapter 1, Paul describes our place as children of God, chosen, adopted by God, and blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Just try and get your mind around that for a minute. And then in chapter 2, Paul tells us a little more about our past. He says, "You have been rescued from the living dead. We were trapped in spiritual death, but we've now been rescued by God's grace and brought to life in Him." Brought to life, and we've been given a place with God's people. We have been invited into the family of God. When you look at this chapter in Ephesians 2, it's easy to understand why Paul had a heart for these people and what was taking place. But I think what he's touching on here is just powerful. So I'm going to turn there for just a minute. If you have your Bibles, you can do that with me if you like. He says, we were objects of wrath. We were dead in sin. And that was our past reality. Before a believer gives their heart to the Lord, before they come into fellowship with Jesus Christ, we are truly dead in sin. There is no life in us. And we desperately, desperately needed Him. But we have been made alive and seated with Christ by God's grace. What a blessing. We have been made alive in Him, not just for this life, but for eternity, made alive in Him. And we have this present reality where we have been seated with Christ. He says, you used to be separate, excluded from citizenship, foreigners, without hope and without God. That was our condition. We were the aliens. We were refugees. Before Christ, we were the ones who were on the outside. But now we have been brought near. We have been included into God's family. And we've been made one with believing Israel. That's a powerful picture. When you consider the way the world thinks about Israel and thinks about the Jews, so much anti-Semitism, so much tension between this country and its people and the rest of the world, the Gentiles. But what God has done is He has taken believing Gentiles and believing Jews, and He's brought them together into this new third man, this third body, this third expression, which is the church. It's a beautiful picture. And through that, we have been given access to God the Father. Powerful, powerful words from the Apostle Paul. Our primary citizenship and the citizenship of every Christ follower is God's heavenly kingdom. We were aliens, foreigners, pilgrims, strangers to God. We didn't belong to Him. But now, our condition is changed. Now we are aliens, foreigners, pilgrims, strangers to this world. We don't belong here. This isn't our eternal home. We are now citizens of heaven, accepted, loved, brought near, and drawn in. That is the hospitality God has shown to us. We are to share hospitality as it's been shared with us. We are to share the eternal blessings we've received. And it almost goes without saying that we ought to be sharing our temporary blessings as well. So many of those that we've been given so freely. If you think back to the book of Genesis, from the beginning of the heavens and the earth, God has been showing us hospitality. He's been showing us what it looks like. He made light. He made a separation between sea and sky. He made the land. He made plants and trees, which were good for food. He made the sun, moon, and stars. He made living creatures. And after every day of creation, He said, "It is good." And then He created mankind, and He said, "It is very good." It says that He made all kinds of trees that were both pleasing to the eye and good for food. God's work of creation was an expression of His hospitality. And this work has always been beautiful and good. That's what God's hospitality looks like. You know, as I was thinking about this sermon, it occurred to me, God never seeks to develop in us a character trait that doesn't already flow from Him, that isn't already present in Him. But I don't know about you. When I think about hospitality, I get this picture in my mind of maybe a hostess in someone's nice home preparing a beautiful meal for guests that are well-loved and well-cared for. And that is a picture of hospitality. But I don't often think back to God Himself in the way that He is shown, in the way He has shown hospitality, the way that He will demonstrate hospitality. But He never seeks to develop a character trait in us that He doesn't already possess. He's not asking us to be hospitable to each other simply because it helps us keep the peace down here, although that's an important component of hospitality. No, He asks us to participate with Him in hospitality because it's an essential part of His nature. And He, as our Father, and we, the children, need to be learning from Him about this character trait, what it looks like to create welcoming, warm attitudes, welcoming, caring, safe spaces for people to be with us. God has always demonstrated hospitality to His people. Think about the story of the Israelites, who time and again were brought back home to the promised land that God had given to them, and who looked beyond the temporary blessings of this life to eternal blessings. We talked about this verse this morning in Lynn's Bible study. Hebrews 11, verse 8 says, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God." He was looking forward to that eternal hospitality. Verse 13, "All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them." God is the God of hospitality, and He is seeking to build into us something that is essential to His character. Jesus understood this concept that we are to receive from the Father and to live that out. He said, "Very truly I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing by Himself. He only does what He sees His Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son does also." As children of God, that's our pattern. We're to be hospitable because that is the nature of God. He's the origin and sustenance of all true hospitality. Think about the end of the story. We touched on Genesis. Think about Revelation for just a minute. Chapter 21, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among His people, and He will dwell with them. And they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" God is preparing for us a place. He is the originator of hospitality. When I think about hospitality in my own life, those who have shown me hospitality, I remember my aunt and uncle, Tut and Cheryl, who when I was 14 years old took me into their home. And for 4 years during high school, they not only cared for me, but they also treated me like their own child. They watched out for me, they fed me, they drove me to football games. Hospitality. I think about when I moved to Hawaii with a bicycle and a backpack and just a few dollars in my wallet. Doug and Elizabeth Glenn, who took me into their home and for 2 years provided a safe place for me to grow in my faith and to serve others. And I think about Gib Martin, a gentleman who, when I had a job and was traveling across the country and had to spend a lot of time on the road, whenever I would go up to Seattle where Gib lived, he said to me, "Now, when you come up here, I don't want you to stay in a hotel. You come and stay at my house." And he and his wife would prepare a meal like they did the one night. They had prepared a nice meal, and then I sat down for some wonderful conversation with Gib, and there we were in his living room, and we had a great conversation. Then I was pretty wiped out, and I was ready for bed. Said goodnight to Gib. When I got up early that next morning, probably about 5, to get on the road, there was Gib sitting out in the living room in that same chair. He had been praying for me all night. hospitality. I slept good that night. God is so good to us to give us those people in our lives who have shown us hospitality, and we really ought to be sharing it with others as best we can. So a couple basic principles, some hospitality principles I want to share with you. If we can click back to that other screen, Mark. Thank you. Great. So just skipping forward here, a couple principles. First one is about relationship. You know, the most benevolent action we can take is engaging in a loving relationship. There is no hospitality that's devoid of relationship. It just doesn't work that way. It's not mechanical. So we build relationships with people. Motivation is another one. We need to be aware of that reason. There are reasons for wanting to serve, wanting to be hospitable. At the Canby Center, we serve as a demonstration, as an expression of God's love. But it's so important for us to keep coming back to that. What's the foundation for me? Why am I here? Because not everyone will be grateful for the hospitality we show them. And all it takes is a few people back to back who don't receive that hospitality well to kind of get at the roots of what that motivation is for us. Understanding and having the correct motivation for our service to others helps us to serve over the long haul. Responsibility. That's a key piece. When we do for others what they can do for themselves, we actually rob them of personal dignity. Have you ever seen that happen? You know, someone like my mom, who is now healing and she's doing so much better coming out of the hospital. If I was to do everything for her and be there for her for each meal and be feeding her, and when she needed to walk, be sure I was standing beside her, she wouldn't actually grow as she could in those skills and those abilities that she needs to regain. It's important that we come alongside and we help people, but that we do that keeping personal responsibility in mind. Love is another important component. We're told to love our neighbor as ourselves, right? So good question to ask is, would this action, would this hospitality be loving if I was receiving it in similar circumstances? And then boundaries. I think it harms not only us and maybe those that we love and want to serve, but those around us, those people who are maybe a part of our families or others, when we don't set appropriate boundaries. Now, there are times when I'm driving by myself where I may stop and pick up a gentleman who's hitchhiking, but I won't do that when there's my seven-year-old in the car with me. I set some boundaries in my life to be able to care well for people. And it's important that we have those boundaries. Okay, just a couple thoughts in closing. I want to share with you that there's a kind of a spectrum of hospitality. If you think about it, on one end of the spectrum is really serving those that we love and trust. That's that picture of a warm home with a fireplace that's roaring and, you know, maybe some warm soup on the stove. We all love that picture. That version, that expression of hospitality is good and right. But on the other end of the spectrum may be service to people who are ungrateful. People who maybe haven't been grateful for a long time. People who may even be wicked. Listen to what Jesus had to say about that in Luke 6. He says, "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what are you doing more than any others? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies and do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Heavenly Father is merciful." And that's our standard. What about need? When you think about that spectrum, on one end might be just some small needs, someone in need of some companionship and a warm meal. On the other end might be someone who needs housing. Maybe someone who is wondering about their ability to stay even in this community. On one end of the spectrum, low risk in terms of us and showing hospitality. On the other end, perhaps some substantial risk, maybe even risk to our own safety or our own health. So when we think about showing hospitality, we need to think about that spectrum, because that's the spectrum that God sees things with. So what does this mean for us? What about those in need of hospitality right here in our own community? Who are the aliens and foreigners and strangers living among us? And what's God's heart for them? What can be done for the homeless? What can be done for refugees who are fleeing violence? What can be done for the poor who live among us, who can't afford to get into an apartment? Well, let me be the first to tell you that there are no shortcuts. There are no easy answers to these challenges. I'm not claiming that there are, but let's not imagine for a moment that it's unimportant to God. It's very important to Him. So, you know, Pastor Matthew and I have had some really good conversations about what it would look like for the Canby Center and Zion to partner in some stronger ways regarding this kind of thing, regarding hospitality. Sometimes we'll have a family who pulls into the Canby Center in their vehicle, and that is their home. They've been living out of that home for maybe a month or more. And in some cases, they're in such a place where if they had a place to stay, it would help them make progress. Some of you may have extra property, may have space, or perhaps an extra bedroom. And if you think that there might be some way that we could partner in that, I would love to be talking with you more about that. Again, there's no easy answers here, but sometimes it's just building relationship so that we can find a solution together. Some of you may have extra food at home that you can share with those who are a little more hungry in our community. Let me encourage you to do that. That is hospitality. But whatever it might be, let's use our temporary blessings so when the time comes, we'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. We've been invited into the family of God. He calls us son, daughter, friend. We've been given the bread of life, and our thirst is satisfied in Jesus. We've been healed by the great physician of our sin sickness, and Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. I can't imagine greater hospitality than what God has shown to each of us. So, in like kind, let's demonstrate hospitality to those around us. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for these people, your church. So many here are demonstrating hospitality in so many wonderful ways. I see generosity flow from these, your people. And still I know, Lord, that what you call us to is a standard that is higher. What you have for us is your very heart to demonstrate your mercy, your kindness, your love, your healing and compassion, your hospitality to those in need among us. Help us not to become calloused to all the need or to be overwhelmed by it, but in each day, help us to notice what it is that you've asked of us. And in these things, we will rejoice in what you've called us to, and we will give you thanks for filling us with the ability to serve and love people. We give you thanks for this morning in Christ's name. Amen.
Page 322, and please stand.
For me. you write? Thank you, Ray and Rachel, for being here this morning and for your message. Test testing. Can you hear me? Maybe a little louder. Thank you, Mark. It's good to be back. I don't know if all of you know, but Matthew and myself, Kara Krupp and Karen, have been gone this past week to our Mennonite seminary to attend a deep faith conference. So all I can say is I got jet lagged today. We got back at 11 o'clock last night, but it was really good. And I'm looking forward to debriefing with them. And then we're going to spend some time with our pastor leadership team sharing reimagining faith formation for the 21st century. So it's looking at all ages in the church, how we help you grow your faith. We were challenged by how digitally we're connected now through internet, iPhone, and how we need to use that in the church for further online learning and teaching and resources for people, for families with children. So I was very inspired. It was about 100 people in attendance, so we would attend kind of a worship time with a speaker. Then we would go to different workshops. As the four of us, we tried to cover a lot of ground and each attend different workshops so we can bring back lots of good information. So looking forward to creating some maybe new ways of growing spiritually together and reimagining what the church looks like in the 21st century. And things are changing so fast with our interconnectedness. And I think in the next 10 years, that's just going to get greater. So I even feel behind in what I know how to do on the computer. I liked how Ray did his presentation today with your little button, and I want to find out what that is and how to use that. It was smooth and clear. So there's a lot for us to keep learning in how we grow our faith. So good to be back. Wonder if others of you have things to share in response to the message or other things going on in your lives. Florence.
I stopped to see Margaret this morning on the way to church because she had her survey paper that she wanted to be sure to get in. And she's doing well. Her daughter-in-law, one of them, had been there to help her get dressed and do her hair because she can't lift her left arm above her shoulder. So she's a little bit slowed down that way, but she seemed in good spirits and looked much better than she did last Sunday when we walked out of church and she asked me to hold her hand. She wasn't sure what was going on, so it was a little scary taking her home because I didn't know what was going to happen. So, and if you don't know, she had a pacemaker put in the middle of the week and seems to be doing much better.
Thank you for that update. We want to continue to pray for Margaret. Cheryl?
I'd just like to update you on my brother-in-law, Eddie. I went to see him this week. He is at Benedictine now, and so that we're all very happy about that, including him. He knows quite a few of the people around there. Several workers have actually been his students in school. And so that's great. It's great for him to have visitors, and he's been enjoying that. And Lynette's doing a lot better, too. His color is really good. They are working hard at his physical therapy. So thank you so much for your prayers for him.
Thank you, Cheryl. Anyone else like to share? It's good to see Floyd here today. Do you want to say a little bit? Good to have you back.
I don't know how many of you are aware of your Good Cheer Committee that goes out when people are ill, but we had them visit us. Danny and Carol stopped by, brought us a nice flower, and Danny brought me some nice reading material like fishing magazines, etc. And so we really appreciate that our church extends themselves in that way. And thank you. I'm feeling much better and hope to find out a few things this Tuesday when I go to the doctor to find out where it is from here. So thank you.
So I want to tell you about how Ray inspired me. So talking about a digital age, if you pay any attention to what's on Cambi now on Facebook, not too long ago, I saw somebody post something that was very, using his words, he was definitely serving the ungrateful. Somebody came on and was very ungrateful about what had gone on at Cambi Center. He had the most beautiful, gracious response to this person. And what was the most remarkable to me about it was then how many people after that were affected by his words. So that hospitality extended way beyond that initial person and really impacted that community. So kudos to him, and you know, it's a nice lesson in how to use a digital age to show hospitality.
It's also good to see Doug back with us after his surgery. Do you want to say hello and how you're doing?
Doing good. I can't believe how many people thought I was never going to make it, but I just turned it over, and Gloria took care of me, the doctors took care of me, the nurses took care of me, and I'm so thankful.
Good to have you here and see you back in action. Ray, just your mother's name is Marcia. Yeah, we want to continue to remember her today and others in our congregation that are, their health is declining, they're dealing with making decisions for their health. There's a lot of that going on. I was able to be with my own mom in Goshen this week. She has been on hospice for 18 months. She has some spots on her liver. So all I can say is there was some real sacred, holy moments of me being with my mom in this stage of her life. And she's gracious about it. She's not fearful. We sat and wrote out some of her obituary. So this is a real journey for me with my mother at 87 years old and knowing that she's on this final path to her homeland. And I've just appreciated having the time to be with her and what she's teaching me through this stage of her life. So her name is Wilma. I want to keep her in our prayers too, and Marcia. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that you call us your body and that we have hands and feet and hearts to reach out to each other, that we're not alone on this walk with you, that you give us each other for comfort, for encouragement, for wisdom as we face different stages of our life. I just want to lift up many today that we care for, as we have heard about Marcia, my mother Wilma, Eddie Willig, Margaret, Floyd, those that are recovering from health related surgeries. Thank you that you walk with us. Thank you that you are the great physician and healer, that you know what we need, that we can call upon you, and that we can rest in those many promises that you give us in the Bible, that you are with us, that you know every hair on our head, that you will bring us to yourself, and that you will show us the way, that you will give us your guidance, your peace, as we travel this road of life. Lord, I pray a blessing today on Ray and Rachel in the ministry that they continue to do in Cambi. Empower them with the gifts that they carry. Empower them to continue the work of reaching many people. Lord, I thank you for the vision of the Cambi Center and how that has been placed in a very important area of our city. Thank you for the many ministries flowing out of there. We ask for your continued blessings upon the Canby Center. And I want to pray for Matthew today, offering a blessing as he travels to see his father, whose health is failing, and also to see his daughter, that you would just bless that time he has with his family, protect him in his traveling, bring him back safe to us. We pray all these things together as your body, saying together, Amen.
Page 414, please stand. 414. We'll sing the first and the last verses.
God, who stretched the spangle of heaven, infinite in time and space, flung the sun of ruby radiance through the silent fields of space. We are children in your likeness, sharing this in us with you. Great Creator, still creating, show us what we yet stay to. At each far horizon heaven, may it challenge us anew. Children of
Sunday prayer from the bulletin last Sunday, a prayer written by Eric Milner. Will you pray with me? Suffer us, Lord, that we never think that we have knowledge enough to need no teaching, wisdom enough to need no correction, talents enough to need no grace, goodness enough to need no progress, humility enough to need no repentance, devotion enough to need no quickening, strength sufficient without your spirit, lest by standing still we fall back forevermore. Amen. Go in peace.